The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our program, and together we welcome you to the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show on this April 27th, 2018, day two of now what will bleed over into next week on the teacher's strike here in Arizona. The program airing on AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening, a couple of choices for you. My website, buckmastershow.com, has the, what we call in the business, the live stream, as does KVOI.com. Friday, I'd like to do a media shout out. These are folks who are in the media, who support our program, not to say that other media people who aren't, don't put our logo up on their website, don't support the program, but these specifically folks do. TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith, who will join us at 12:30, Green Valley News, Sahorita Sun, and Tucson Media Group, which includes Tucson Weekly and the Inside Tucson Business. And we thank all of them for their support. Jan Lusher is with us, Deputy Pima County Administrator. Jan, always good to see you.
Nice to see you, Bill. Thanks for having me here today.
And Tim Steller, who arrived 4 minutes early and rather surprised. Normally he comes in when the Buckmaster Show theme music comes up. That's Tim Steller.
I was disappointed in my timing. I was mingling with the
I saw that on Twitter. You were down there with the demonstrators.
Yeah, and then I jumped in the car and zoomed up the aviation highway to get here.
Yeah, and you tweeted that there was a loud applause and shouts when, was it the Marana? Someone from, a teacher from Marana said, we're continuing this Monday?
Correct, yeah. So, I mean, I haven't heard that officially other than from him, but apparently, you know, he's one of their liaisons to the movement, and he had gotten a text saying that Marana had decided it had to close on Monday.
Yeah, because the movement, the union did announce they are extending into Monday. So, Jan Lusher, you keep a close tabs on staffing levels in all the various departments. Everything from animal control to the folks that are out there filling the potholes. A lot of your staff, several thousand, I'm sure, have children, and this will impact these employees.
It does, Bill, and that's one of the things we've been watching as we, like all of you and all the people who have, anyone who has employees or children has been paying attention to what might happen to them. We began last week with some of the departments doing surveys and understanding where we might have people out, because it's important for us to keep critical county services operating without a glitch to the community. If you're in wastewater or you're in animal control, as you say, or if you need to get out to the health department or something. So what we've been doing is looking at where we have divisions, and if it appears that we have someone who might be out because they have school-aged children and they need to stay at home, how do we backfill and move people over from other divisions to fill in so that we can keep the doors open and all the services that you need.
And these people, obviously, if they have to, they'll take sick pay to take
vacation
care.
Vacation time, absolutely.
But then that will start to erode into that. And then these families, I'm sure, have vacation plans. You've got graduating high school seniors who are looking ahead to the next level in their life. Perhaps they have internships. They're going to work at a national park. They need to be somewhere. Schedules are going to start to get pushed back if this continues too long.
You're absolutely right, and that's, I think, as with, again, all of your other employers, we began last week thinking, all right, what do we do on Thursday and probably Friday? And now we're getting word that we need to start figuring out plans for Monday and Tuesday, and then I think West Virginia went on a couple of weeks, so we're all trying to make those plans. And so it's not just for employers, but for all of us that have kids.
And the health department, I know you closely monitor with Dr. Garcia, Francisco Garcia. Mm-hmm. His office is right across from you at the county building. I mean, from a health point of view, as the temperatures heat up, folks out on the, we're always telling people, drink enough water, carry that's water right. with you. Well, they're out there 5 or 6 hours in the
that's
heat.
That's right. Well, and I know that yesterday we got word, a gentleman who used to work with Pima County is now the deputy county administrator in Maricopa, my counterpart. In Maricopa County, and he and I were chatting yesterday, and at one point, I believe that's when they finally decided to end the strike yesterday, and the demonstration, at least, was because mm-hmm. of heat and people fainting. And we've been watching in Pima County, and at one point yesterday, we're looking to take out some water. So it has nothing to do with support of the strike, but when it's almost 100 degrees and I'm watching people out my window and passing out, you know, we're trying to see what needs to be done from that public health perspective.
Here's Tim Steller. Tim, jump in.
I know earlier this week the libraries, mm-hmm. Pima County Libraries, announced they would be a place that would, accept children dropped off to some extent. Can you tell me what that policy was and whether it's being used?
We're seeing kids coming in, Tim, and mm-hmm. but we have not, it's not been expanded too much, and we have to reevaluate it. Yesterday was unique for us because it was National Take Your Kids to Work Day. So we mm-hmm. did have a lot more employees bringing kids in just on the coincidence of that day. Many of our libraries are set up for kids and have classes and such, so we've said you can drop your kids off as long as they behave, and there's code of conduct rules and things. We've not amended our normal policies. We're not going to become a daycare facility at this point. It's not what we do, and it's not safe for the kids to be that way, but there's still
but it hasn't become that in some functional way?
I can't tell you yet because, again, yesterday was the only day we've seen it. We've not seen much today, and yesterday we did not see any increase in numbers. But I do think more parents planned for the first day. It'll be interesting to see what happens as we hit in a couple of weeks.
And there's the nutrition. This is not a wealthy community, John Lesher, as you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of kids depend on the school for their breakfast, lunch, and some kids take food home for their dinner.
They do, and I think that's another issue that we've been looking at, particularly when we look at health and women, infant, and children and mm-hmm. things like that. What are the programs that we need to do to take care of folks? And I think that's, I believe that the school districts are having those same conversations as well.
All right. Breaking news, as they say, concerning the Pima County budget, which was released today. Normally when people, the budget, you know, they hear the numbers, unless the numbers impact them, the ears don't perk up.
Right.
Well, people want to know, is this going to cost me more money?
And the answer is no. The draft budget was released today. It's just a little over $1.3 billion. What it means is that, first of all, we have an increase in property tax, in property valuation that's gone up.
So valuations went up.
Went up, yes. About 3%. And when we started, when the deep recession hit, of course, over a few-year period there, we dropped about 16% just in the assessed valuation. And so now we're starting to see an uptick, which helps because you can keep the same tax rate, but if the valuation's going up, we're in better shape. What we're seeing is Mr. Huckleberry's proposed budget includes a decrease of about 14 cents per $100 assessed valuation in your primary tax rate. It will continue a 25 cent per $100 assessed valuation for roads to continue to try to fund those roads projects. We are, for the first time, looking at placing in the budget and making part of the way we do business a pay-as-you-go fund for our buildings. In the past, we have relied on voter-approved bonds to do a lot of our capital improvements. It appears there's a different way we need to go in the county, so we're starting to see the pay-as-you-go funds.
Is that a result of the bonds going down
a couple of years ago? And a reality
so really that's really taking a different direction.
A different direction. What are others doing? Because just because bonds fail doesn't mean we don't still need wastewater treatment facilities and ceilings fixed and things like
the
that.
Need so, doesn't stop.
Need
after
doesn't
the
stop. That's right.
Say
that's
no
right.
to something.
That's right. So, if I may, I'll just mention too that the budget as of today is now on the Pima County website. It's pima.gov, and you can not only look at with real granularity every aspect of the county budget and that $1.3 billion. But we also have on the website, you can go back 2 years, the 16-17 fiscal year budget, and actually see how we did. And then for the current year, we've got both the budget as well as expenditures to date, because the year's not over yet, obviously. But you can see how we're tracking and then compare all of that with next year's budget if people are interested.
All right. We're up against the break, but I don't want to keep Matthew holding through the break. So let's see if we can work his question in before the break. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, well, I'll just say I was just hoping that she could talk a little bit about where we are on Pima Animal Care Center, with regards to which cities are paying for those services on a go-forward basis. I know we lost a few that are participating as they've chosen to go elsewhere for that. And second thing, what does she think about having a dog park there in downtown, you know, where the statue is? A lot of people would like to see a dog park for downtown residents, and would that help with Caterpillar too? Thank you, Bob.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Two-part question. Go ahead, Jan Lesher.
First,
the dog park, you want to begin with that one first?
We'd love to do something like that. That's a city park in the downtown area, so we will chat with them. And it's next to where I work, and it's less than a mile from where I live, so it's just fine with me. But we'd like to see more and more public facilities that become dog-friendly, and we'll be looking at that. I would love to talk a lot more about animal care, and maybe we can come back after the break.
Do that after the break, because I want to bring it up as well.
And I can answer about the jurisdictions,
too. Big supporter of our animal well-being issues in this community. I'm delighted we have a new facility for Pima County, and I'm also delighted for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. How many communities this size have two state-of-the-art animal welfare facilities coming online within a few months of each other? Very few, probably.
Very few.
All right. Before we take the break from the recorded messages, our newest partner is Mona's Danish Bakery. I love a great bakery. Been going to Mona's for years, Steve and Sherry, up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, do such a beautiful job. They're open right now for lunch. Order a sandwich on that beautifully baked bread that Steve was laboring over up at in front of a hot oven at about 3 o'clock this morning. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link not only to Mona's Danish Bakery, but our fine partners who make this show possible. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Also, a preview of National Pilates Weekend. Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Jan Lesher is here. Jan is the Deputy Pima County Administrator. Tim Steller is here, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. And before we talk about animal care, Roberta has been waiting very patiently. Roberta, what's on your mind?
Well, last week I heard a national news report that Pima County has more murders than any other county in the nation. Is something being done to deal with this?
I don't know that statistic. I have not heard that, Roberta, and I don't know if Jan Lesher has.
I have not, and it's not. If there's information we can get back to, I've not heard that before, and I would be quite surprised if that were true. But I don't know.
What's going on now with Pima Animal Care? Okay, the contract services to what communities?
Pima County contracts, we provide services, first of all, to all of the unincorporated areas of Pima County, of course, and we contract with our jurisdictional partners in Oro Valley, South Tucson, and Tucson. We are having conversations with people from the Tohono Nation as well as the Pasquayaki tribe, and that's the folks with whom we work. About a year ago, the city and towns of Sarita and Marana began a contract with the Humane Society. And I think now that the Humane Society has opened up that building as well, their new facility, that they're able to provide the services that I think Marana and Sarita have been looking for.
Tim?
Well, I mean, hasn't it essentially become a competition between Pima County and the Humane Society for customers?
If it's that kind of competition, that's good. I think, because then we'll do a better service. I think that a few years ago, when Pima County began to significantly change how we respond to animals, it was 5 years ago, we had a live release rate, about 45%, and now we're at 95%. But to take care of animals and not euthanize them and provide a better facility is more expensive. And we were passing that bill through to our jurisdictional partners. Moran and Sarita began to look at that and thought, can we do it differently? Can we do it more cost effectively? And they've entered into that agreement, as I say, with Humane Society. I hope that I was at the groundbreaking, ribbon cutting, rather, for the Humane Society. And the group that I was taking the tour with were the mayors of those communities. And it really is a case, in my mind, of the rising tide and all boats and all that. And that, say, I think any mayor can look at a community and know exactly where their community ends and the next begins. Less so dogs. And so I think they're going to cross the line. They're moving into other jurisdictions. And I think what's going to be important is how we as the county animal care can continue to partner with Humane Society so that everybody in the community is getting a great level of care, regardless who is actually providing those services.
Does this make Pima Animal Care Center more of essentially a pit bull storage and distribution center? I mean, there was always this kind of underlying argument that it was the actual issue here was pit bulls, and that's what would end up populating the center. And I would think with this Humane mm-hmm. Society, perhaps that would become even more true.
It's not what we're seeing. Uh-huh. You know, we do see, as I think, I think, Tim, you're frequently at the board meeting, and we have our Paws for Paws every week, and there's, I think, our Sonoran Purebreds that's got a little bit of pit bull in them, no matter what they are, but mm-hmm. We're not seeing that kind of those numbers coming out in the same way. I believe the Humane Society, simply because their facility, the size and their capacity, take fewer dogs. When you take fewer dogs, you probably have a fewer number of pit bulls. But it's just not what we have been seeing is our numbers are tracking out.
And it is unusual, as I said before the break, to have two state-of-the-art facilities in a community come online. And the turnaround at Pima Animal Care, the live release rate, is just pretty dramatic. I mean, you're actually approaching the point where you're over 95%.
95%. We're very pleased with that. And I think one of the things that has pleased me is making sure that we balance what's an appropriate use of tax dollars with the kinds of programs that might be the extras, as some say, it's the things we would want, not just that we need. And we have a wonderful relationship with Friends of PAC, which is our new philanthropic organization. I say that because, for example, if an animal, you see frequently on the news when we've had some extraordinary cases where an animal is severely abused or mm-hmm. is, been hit by mm-hmm. a car. Previously, those animals would be put down because there's a several thousand dollar medical bill. And is that an appropriate use of your tax dollars? Probably not. But when we have people in the community who care about animals to that way that they choose to give their charitable dollars, it allows us to pay those medical bills, those veterinary bills, out of those philanthropic dollars. And that helps move the program up. The other kinds of things we've done at Animal Care, I think, is starting programs. Many people bring their dog in. Not many people. There are people who bring their dogs in because they simply can't afford them anymore. They've mm-hmm. lost a job or they have those mm-hmm. sorts of financial issues. We have a resource center now. We can help them with dog food. We can help them offset some of their medical bills. So maybe there's a way for them to keep that member of the family at home with them mm-hmm. and help support it. So there's a community food bank. We now make sure we have a community food bank that provides cat and dog food as well. So I think it's how we just provide additional services.
If I may take a little left turn here. A couple years ago, actually exactly 2 years ago, I believe, the Pima County received a grant of more than $1 million from the MacArthur Foundation mm-hmm. to reduce jail population and do some other things in our criminal justice system. How's that going?
It's going very well, I think. And what we've been seeing, actually there was just a meeting yesterday of our Justice Coordinating Council to make sure that we are we're moving the needle finally. And I think, Tim, the piece of that, we've got the MacArthur grant that was $1 million. We've gotten some other opportunities where we've been looking at some pay-for-success dollars. We got a HUD grant and Sorensen grant. And it became a time for us to really evaluate all the services that we're providing in the criminal justice area and look at what it is we need to do to realign services. By that, at Pima County, we pay what I think of as sort of all sides of the costs. It's the sheriff that might be arresting you. You're in a Pima County jail. We have the public, the prosecutor's office out of the county attorney's office. You have public defense services. So we pay the whole kit and caboodle. The more we can get people out of our jails and into community services, so MacArthur has been something that we've been doing along with our behavioral health programs and the like, to get people in diversion programs, to get people to break that tradition of recidivism, where we're letting people come in at night and pay off some of the bills that they owe so that they're not stopped for speeding and then also brought in for something else, and we get them back into the systems. We've activated as well the health care, behavioral health care, getting people the help they need to get them off drugs and get them out of the jail as well. So I think it's still so new that for me to say here's the exact numbers and we're seeing Tim come in is hard, but I think what it really helped us do was jumpstart as a county additional programs and the consolidation of other units of service into one pool. A piece of that I might add is it's also forced us to create, or given us the impetus, I should say, to create a data office, because part of what we're looking at is we have to track the data. We have to pay attention to what those numbers are, or we won't know if something like MacArthur has moved the needle. And so now we have people whose full-time job it is to help us track the real numbers. And then we can come back in a year and say, okay, they gave us $1 million. What the heck has happened? And are people in this community actually better off than we were before we got the grant?
I'm looking here for the data, but I can't find it right now. All I know is my colleague Murphy Woodhouse in the office yesterday or the day before handed me a sheet that showed the jail population essentially stable for the last year and a half. So there may be progress made in all these areas you're talking about, I don't think the fundamental baseline of jail population is showing a decrease, is it?
I'm not sure. I think one of the things that we've been looking at as well, I'm talking to, the people in the jail, and that's one of the things we've really been looking at is why aren't those numbers changing? What is it we need to do to be driving those numbers? One of the advantages or disadvantages, I guess, we had is with some of the data I was looking at is just before MacArthur came in, we had a decline in the number of people that were coming into the jail. So that base number had already started to improve when we started the clock ticking. But you are right in that that's where the proof's going to be in the pudding, Tim, is when we come back and say, okay, there's X number of people in jail in our jail beds, and in 2 years, if we have the same numbers, then we've got to go back and completely reevaluate the success of the program.
All right. The budget, as we mentioned in the first segment, was released today. And again, let's again go over that website where people can really take a deep dive into the budget.
Just pima.gov. It's pretty easy. And what we've done is put it on the front page or what. I guess, is it the landing page? What is that? What's the terms of, just right, if you go to PMAGov, you can start looking into the budget and finding, not only this year's budget by department, as well as there's a memorandum from Chuck Huckleberry, County Administrator, that details what's different about this budget, what from last year, what's happening in the community, what the tax rates look like, what programs might be different, things like that. And all of that's there in addition to information from previous years.
Schedule for our public hearings?
The schedule is there. I wish I could remember off the top of my head, but it's online, and we got a lot of Tuesdays coming up where we'll have a board meeting in the morning and budget hearings in the afternoon. So we'll go through May a couple days a week in budget hearings, and then tentative budget adoption towards the end of May, and then final adoption going into June.
All right, I'm out of time, but always time for one more question. After all, it's my show. I can keep it a little bit longer. The teacher focus will be the big subject at the legislature. They adjourn Thursday night. They're in the three-day weekend, but stuff that Pima County has is going to get certainly pushed back, I would think, before the legislature.
It's been our concern. I think that we have bills before the legislature we care about, and when things start to get lost, as there's a rush to sine die or to adjourn at the end of the session, and it gets stepped on by budget conversations and these larger conversations, and things get missed just for lack of attention at the end.
All right, Jan Lusher.
Good. Thank you, Ben.
Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Absolutely.
For seeing you.
Thank
All
you.
Right, thanks a lot. We're going to take our break right here. It's the mid-show break. It is Buckmaster. Tim Steller sticks around, and he'll be joined by Dylan Smith. Dylan is waiting in the wings from TucsonSentinel.com. Guess what we're going to talk about? The teacher strike, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the show does repeat on Saturday morning, so perhaps you're listening as you start your weekend and out running errands or whatever. Maybe it's too early to run errands at 7:30 in the morning, but anyway, maybe you're out and about.
Is 7:30 in the morning on Saturday even exist?
I thought you'd say that. That is Dylan Smith. Dylan is the editor and publisher and also founder of TucsonSentinel.com.
If you're listening to me at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday, you know this is recorded.
And Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star. And, of course, 790-2040, by the way, is our live line number, because we'll be talking about the teacher strike. And I have a feeling that emotions are going to start to really pick up as this strike drags. Well, I guess we can't say it's dragging on yet, but we'll bleed over now, Dylan, into Monday.
Yeah, this is going to hit the point of affecting people's daily lives who aren't directly involved with the educational system. You know, if you have kids in school, it's going to affect you, definitely. If you are an employer, as Jan Lesher was discussing, you're going to have to start thinking about how to deal with some of these logistics. And that's the point of having a protest, is to make people snap out of their routine and pay a little bit of attention. That's the tactic, just as when people who are having a physical demonstration quite often, instead of, as these teachers have been doing, stand along the edge of the road and encourage people to honk their horns, other protests, we see people getting in the middle of the road to stop traffic to very purposefully make you realize that there's something you should pay attention to.
And it could very much backfire on the teachers. The 4 days, 4 day weekend, I mean, that's basically Tim Steller wrote like a rodeo week.
Yeah, I mean, people were prepared. Yeah. As the districts had calls coming in, people saying they wanted the day off on Thursday, and then Friday they were forced to close. At some point, and then now Monday, people, I talked to a woman today, a teacher who's using her last leave day that's available for Monday. And then what happens after that? No, there, I mean, while it's true, as Dylan says, that your point is to bring attention, and yes, that requires inconveniencing people in some cases, you do, there is a delicate balancing act. I talked to some parents this morning who were, you're going to find a lot of people. If you could do an accurate poll, you'd find a ton of people who sympathize with, want teachers to get more pay, want schools to be better funded, and aren't in favor of the strike. I'm not saying that's a majority, but there's a big bunch of people out there who feel that, have that opinion.
But where does the negative attention go? Does it go to the teachers and the school districts, or does it trend to in the direction of the legislature and the governor?
I don't know.
We've seen in other states where they've had what are more legitimately called school strikes rather than these sort of walkouts, political pressure, labor actions that we're seeing in Arizona, where they went a couple of weeks and really put some serious political pressure on the government to put more money in education.
West Virginia went, I think, two weeks.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, that you know, there is this this Ducey, Governor Ducey has this proposal on the table. I've talked to some legislators today. You know, the Republicans are working through some disagreements about the details, but they're going to have a budget that includes big increased new spending on education and specifically teacher pay.
For this year? Or, you know, Ducey's earlier proposal was not for this budget. It was sort of a promise that it would be in the next budget.
No, for this coming year. Yeah, for this coming year. And so once that's occurred, which I'm told they're going to be, they're expecting a budget maybe Tuesday, then, you know, what's the argument for the strike?
Right.
I mean, it's they got to be really careful, the leaders of this strike, not to get sucked up into the good feeling. There's this wonderful feeling when you're around the demonstrators that finally we're taking this issue that's been driving us crazy by the neck and we're just shaking it.
It's one of the more positive demonstrations that I've seen in quite a long time.
But the problem is getting sucked into a kind of an insular feeling and not realizing what the outer world might be thinking. I mean, you got to be careful with those
politics. I agree with Tim on that one. The erosion of public support, the goodwill that was built after 5 weeks of the Red for Ed could quickly dissipate Monday, and if it goes into Tuesday, correlation with how long it goes and how long public is willing to support it.
It really depends on the specifics, I think, of whatever that proposal coming from the governor ends up being.
Well, right, but and then also,
is it something reasonable? Will it make a difference, or is it smoke and mirrors?
I think anything for next year is likely to be real, but the question is whether, you know, the governor runs for re-election in November. Is there anything after that that will become reality, or will it all just disappear once he gets reelected? Now, a whole other alternative way out of this is the initiative. It's coming out today that the leaders of this movement and some allied groups are putting together a ballot initiative proposal. They're going to start collecting signatures. The idea is that it will be an increase in the income tax on higher earners. I don't know the specifics, but higher income people would have an increase in their income tax, and that would raise, you know, somewhere in the nine figures, some hundreds of millions. So that may be a place where this movement could turn into the pro-initiative movement as opposed to the strike movement, because I don't see the legislature budging. So the teachers are going to have somewhere else, to some other tree to bark up, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So again, I don't understand if they. What is the holdout? Are they going to wait till Tuesday to see if the legislature actually includes this in the budget? I mean, what is the end goal here at this point?
Specifically?
Yes.
I think this is, in a way, right now, a rather reactive movement, and they're waiting to see what our politicians actually put on the table again. Mm-hmm. And I think Tim's right that about this initiative. Our columnist for the Sentinel, Blake Morlock, was talking about this earlier this week, last week. If you really want to make something happen, you need to take things into your own hands. Don't rely on the politicians. And there's a ton of energy out there. It's really, really difficult to, one, get an initiative on the ballot in the first place and to get it through, as we've seen. But with all of this energy, maybe they could
do that. Exactly. Yeah, this is a moment to seize. But what are you seizing, or what are you doing with this energy? And I could see it. You know, I don't see the legislature budging on the five demands that these people have.
Nope.
And so this might be a valuable place. Now, the thing I appreciate about this movement is they have big dreams. So they. Whether it's because of their radical leaders, as the GOP would say, or just because they're really fed up with how this state has turned, they've decided to confront the whole system, the whole deconstruction of public education, which has occurred over the last 10 to 20 years. And that's what they're demanding ends. And so the legislature is never going to stop the process of deconstructing the existing education system. So as a result, I don't see a better way to go than to push an initiative that starts doing that by, you know, stopping the tax cuts, increasing taxes on some people, and then you know building up the system again.
We have seen a pretty big shift in rhetoric over the past month. I don't remember if it was last night or this morning, but there was an announcement from the chairman of the state Republican Party talking about how, yes, teachers need to have raises. We do need to put more money into schools. What that actually means when it comes to, you know, writing down numbers in a budget, I think there's a rather large difference of opinion on. But we're not seeing the same sort of public schools are the enemy, they need to go away kind of thing. But at least from the mainstream of the Republican Party, you're still seeing that from some people who are, you know, more to the right.
Sure, yeah. I think that the greatest accomplishment of this movement has been, I guess you'd say shifting the Overton window, as people have said lately. Suddenly paying a lot more into public schools is a kind of totally accepted political opinion in Arizona. It's almost unanimous.
All right, let's go to Carl. Called at 790-2040. Carl, what do you think we should do?
Well, that's an interesting question, because it goes back to the point that about 50% of the Arizona state budget is already mandated as to what it has to go by, both federal and state initiatives and so forth. So you don't have a whole lot of money to play with the legislature. And they've also got things like the state mine inspector, the Department of Motor Vehicles, Department of Public Safety, all of those various things that have to come out of that 50%. So if you're going to go ahead and put in an initiative or something that mandates additional money going into education, all of a sudden you're going to have to make cuts elsewhere. And that's the question that I have. Where are these cuts going to come? You can try and raise taxes, but are you going to be able to raise enough? Or is that just going to, again, taxes hit women and minorities hardest because they're the ones that have to pay the stuff?
So I don't think it works the way you're saying. The initiative they're proposing would be A, to raise income taxes on higher earners. I think it was like 250,000 or 500,000 and up. And then the money would be dedicated to schools, so it wouldn't come force cuts in anything else. Those things would be, I guess you'd say, held harmless or something like that.
So that suggestion is for an additional dedicated revenue stream.
Funding stream, yeah. Now, there's a whole other issue that Steve Farley has brought up that's fascinating. Carl mentioned 50%. That figure is crucially important because when we passed Prop 123, that said that if the education spending, K-12 spending, reaches 49% of the state general fund, then the legislature can stop pulling the money out of the land trust. That we approved in Prop 123, and at 50%, that's mandated. So, okay, so follow me here. If the governor's plan goes through, the proportion will likely reach 49 or 50% much faster.
Which means cuts elsewhere.
That means cuts elsewhere. That's why raising revenue, i.e. raising taxes, is another reason why it's important, because you don't reach...
Well, cuts elsewhere in the education budget, okay. Not in the rest of the budget.
Yeah,
right?
I guess not. Yeah, but in any case,
because if you start cutting elsewhere, you're actually increasing the percentage of the education
correct.
Budget,
it's all
and you spiral everything right down the drain.
All right, guys. All right, Tim, you're going to write about this Sunday. More on
yep,
this.
Yep, yep. Trying to figure it out.
And Dylan, of course, will find TucsonSentinel.com for the latest as
you
well.
Bet.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank
Have
you.
A great weekend. We'll be back. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell's next.
Experience one of the most powerful stories of the 20th century, The Diary of Anne Frank, live on stage at the Temple of Music and Art. Don't miss this true story of a young girl and her family's struggle for survival against the inhumanity of the Nazi regime. A story of faith, hope, and belief in the goodness of humanity. A haunting adaptation of the original Pulitzer Prize award-winning play based on Anne Frank's diary. Arizona Theater Company's The Diary of Anne Frank, April 21st through May 12th. Tickets are at arizonatheater.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Hey, when it's in the mid-90s in Tucson, there is a place not too far from here, 3 hours east of here, at about 5,000 to 6,000 foot elevation, where you'll cool off, about 15 degrees cooler. And that is one incentive to drive over to historic Silver City or just relax in that lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find several dozen great places to stay and certainly a like number of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the host, longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist, a man always in search of a delicious meal, Mr. Matt Russell. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm hungry and thirsty. All of the above, Bill.
you always bring an appetite to our Weekend Watch. I'm never worried about that. Anything going on for the kids who are out of school because of the walkout? Any free sandwiches, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely, and I love the spirit of local restaurateurs who are getting together and doing what's right for the kids that are kind of stuck on the balance as the debate over education funding continues. And our good friends at Jimmy John's, they have decided that they're going to be offering their famous Slim Sandwiches to K through 12 students across the Tucson area free of charge until 3 p.m. today. That's right, free sandwiches for students from kindergarten through 12th grade at each of the 10 locally owned Jimmy John's. Now, of course, there's a limit of one sandwich per student, and you need to order at the store, so no delivery. But what a great way for these local business owners to share their love with the community.
It really is, and that's going on right now, correct, Matt?
Right now, up until 3 p.m. today.
We had a longtime honored restaurateur, Janos Wilder. We did a deep dive into his career here this week on the show. It is the agave fiesta at Hotel Congress.
It is, and whether you're a fan of tequila or mezcal or bacanora or even sotol, you can transport your taste buds to the agave regions of the world tomorrow night from 6 to 9 p.m. At the annual Agave Fiesta at Hotel Congress. You can sample up to 30 agave spirits and enjoy an agave cocktail showdown. There's going to be educational seminars, live music, agave art, if you can imagine. The tickets are just $40 each, and they're going to sell out like they always do. So grab them while you still can at agaveheritagefestival.com.
Oh, that festival, by the way, as you know, Matt, has just grown. I mean, there's so many activities going on. That's going to be a great event at Hotel Congress. Everybody talks about wine pairings. Do you have any local dinners going on?
Yeah, absolutely. And I say, if you'd rather sip a little wine tomorrow night instead of tequila, you can check out the Italian wine pairing dinner at Revel. It's that cool wine bar on 9th Street. They're going to be collaborating with Tucson's Fiamme Pizza on some fun pizza and wine pairings with an emphasis on Italian wines, of course. And when you hit the jackpot and taste a wine that you really love, you can order up a bottle and get another pizza. It's the weekend, right?
You bet.
Tomorrow night at Revel from 6 to 9 p.m.
How about the featured food and beverage work from the Inside Tucson Business column that you produced this week?
Yeah, Bill, I ask you, does it really matter the order in which you stack the ingredients in a BLT sandwich?
What did you say, a BLT?
like?
Yeah, I spoke with several restaurateurs about this and found out that there are deep convictions about the stackability of those three ingredients, and you can learn more about this stackable science in this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
Whoa, that's must reading. Matt Russell, have a great weekend, sir.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. And, of course, so many people that we like to thank and gladly do so in the remaining few seconds, kind of Friday here on the program, is what we call Credits Day, and so many people to credit. The original theme music, Christophon, the fine Munich, Germany young composer, his music, linked to it at buckmastershow.com. Rosemary Brandt, my longtime assistant, makes sure all of our shows, podcasts, are up in a very timely manner. Ray Allen. Ray does such a great job for us here at KVOI. Officially, he is the operations manager, and he is also my producer and engineer here on the other side of the glass. And Ray is a real integral part of our team. Thank you, Ray. And all of our friends here at KVOI, Jerry Cross, what a great production manager he is, but he's also a very funny guy. All of the ladies in the front office making sure everything is in order. Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of this. It's a locally operated and owned Tucson Radio Group, and they do a great job. All of us wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.